Magos Westin, whose body was sprawled face down on the Auspex array next to where she had been lying. She spat, trying to remove the taste of Westin's foeti from her mouth. The sensor arrays were wrecked. Each one of them was smashed, sparking and far beyond her capability to repair. What had happened here? Magos Westin had been instructing her in the correct repair ritual for a short-range Auspex, and then she remembered. A ship had emerged from the rear of the Chaos Fleet, moving at speed towards the Revenge and dragging something behind it, something massive. The Auspex readings returned that the object in tow was an asteroid, but that couldn't be possible. What kind of lunatic rams an Emperor-class warship with a tethered asteroid? She looked around again at the ruin of the Sensorium and its crew. A very effective lunatic, she realized. The doors to the Sensorium were shut. Chayna tried the control panel, but all she got was the futile clicking of buttons that no longer worked. She tried to open the manual override flap, but the metal cover had become so warped in the impact that after a couple of minutes she gave up, aware she was chasing a lost cause. The hiss from the Vox array startled her. It wasn't a random sound. Somebody had sent three quick bursts as a test signal. The crew of the secondary sensorium chamber might be dead, but that didn't mean the rest of the crew were. The engines were still running. Perhaps the bridge or one of the other sensoriums was still operational. With no little effort, Chayna being only slight of build, she removed the body of the previous Vox operator from his station and put on the headset. Adjusting the mouthpiece, she began to spin a brass dial on the console before her, attempting to find an open frequency.
This is Adept and Enclimeter Chayna of the warship Revenge. Can anybody hear me? Over.
The Vox returned nothing, not even static. Undeterred, she tried again.
This is Adept and Enclimeter Chayna of the warship Revenge. Can anybody hear me? Over.
Still nothing. Three more times she tried, each time with the same result. Something was jamming all internal and external Vox signals. So how had the signal been sent? The sub-Vox. The Revenge was an Emperor-class warship, one of the oldest known STCs in the Imperium, and though the Adeptus Mechanicus shipyards could build perfect replicas, not even they knew what all of the systems on board were in place for. Like the sub-Vox, as Chayna and her former master called it. Working on an entirely different set of frequencies to the Vox, only a few units in the Sensorium and the bridge were capable of communicating via the sub-Vox, rendering it almost useless as it was incapable of broadcasting to other areas of the ship. Some speculated that it was an emergency broadcast channel, others that it was designed to carry data wirelessly around the ship. Regardless of its intended purpose, somebody was now trying to communicate with her on it. Adjusting yet more dials, Chayna hailed once more.
This is Adept Enclimeter Chayna of the warship Revenge. Can anybody hear me? Over.
What manner of trickery did you use to get me here, Dark Angel?
Khan Swung, Gorechild, the ancient chain axe bequeathed to him by his Primarch Angron in an attempt to take Azrael's head from his shoulders. The Dark Angel ducked under the swipe and brought his blade up, aiming for the World Eater's exposed torso. The Sword of Secrets met the whirring teeth of Khan's axe, and the two Space Marines stood face to face, their locked weapons the only thing keeping them apart.
Isaacar, are you reading me? Where are you?
Azrael opened a box link, but all he picked up was static.
Jiriel, Thelion, Jirias, Castus!
No response. The box was either dead or being jammed.
You do not look like a witch mind to me. Was it your librarians or Grey Knight allies who dragged me away from the Skull Harvest to bring me here?
Azrael strained to keep his sword in place, Khan's fearsome strength augmented by the rage imbued in him by the Blood God. The Dark Angel was forced to take a step backwards.
No, you are no sorcerer. From the look of your armor and robes, I would guess you are a captain. Maybe even Chapter Master. That is good. It has been a long time since I claimed the skull of a Chapter Master.
With a snarl, Khan pushed Azrael back even further, the two ancient weapons coming apart in a shower of sparks. Lifting the chain axe over his head with both hands, Khan chopped down with it, a crimson blur aimed directly at the Dark Angel's head. Azrael narrowly dodged the blow, but Khan followed up with three more, each one connecting with Bulkhead instead of Ceramite. The chamber they were dueling in was pitch black, the Avengers' power systems likely disabled during the ramming and boarding action. But Azrael's enhanced vision allowed him to see his surroundings clearly. Long tables and benches were set at regular intervals across a tiled floor, atop which sat plates covered in half-eaten meals and abandoned cutlery. It was a mess hall, one that had been in use when the assault came. As he put distance between himself and Khan, Azrael tipped over several of the tables. No great obstacles for the World Eater, but obstacles nonetheless. The huge figures began to circle each other, Gorechild roaring impatiently in Khan's fist.
I am Supreme Grandmaster Azrael. Remember that name, Betrayer. It will be the last one you hear.
Of course. That ridiculous helmet you wear should have given you away.
The World Eater advanced on Azrael.
You are not the first Dark Angel's Chapter Master to bear that name. And neither are you the first I have slain.
You have yet to kill me, Betrayer.
Simply a matter of time, I assure you. But before I claim your skull, I want you to tell me what I am doing here. Why did you bring me to this place?
Azrael withdrew even further. Khan kept moving towards him.
My presence here is as much a mystery as yours, traitor.
Somebody, or something, has gone to great lengths to ensure that we face each other in this place at this time. Is that to keep us from taking part in the greater battle for the ship? Or is it because they expect me to slay you?
Or I to slay you?
We are pawns in somebody else's game here, Dark Angel. And I do not like being played as a pawn. I almost don't want to give them the satisfaction of killing you. Almost.
Khan leapt over the barricade of tables, Gorechild screaming in his hand. Azrael deflected the blow with his sword, driving the chain axe into the chamber floor, which tore open under the grinding teeth. He readied to drive the blade down across Khan's neck, but with Gorechild still embedded in the deck, the World Eater struck out with his fist, the punch so powerful that it lifted Azrael from the ground and sent him crashing into a table. Freeing his weapon, Khan was upon the Dark Angel in an instant, and Azrael had to roll aside to prevent the chain axe from biting into his breastplate. His bloodlust up, Khan continued to slash down wildly with Gorechild, forcing the Dark Angel to remain prone to avoid the blows. Each impact shattered more of the deck, thick cracks crazing through the toughened metal. The chain axe snapped once again, and Azrael sprang to his feet, wielding the Sword of Secrets two-handed. He thrust it at Khan, who reacted a fraction too slowly, the blade slicing across the World Eater's forearm. Azrael hadn't drawn blood, but a deep gouge now ran through the red armor. Enraged, Khan heaved Gorechild out of the bulkhead and charged the Dark Angel. Strangely, a faint purple glow emanated from where the axe had torn away the floor. Focusing on the moment, Azrael stood his ground until Khan was committed to the attack before dodging the lethal axe head in a spinning motion and catching the berserker across the back with the edge of his sword. This time, Azrael did draw blood. Khan roared and repeated his charge, but it was as ineffective as the first. Azrael ducking the assault this time and scoring a hit on the traitor Astartes' torso. The Supreme Grand Master had learned many things during his long years of combat, not least of which was that an angry opponent was a sloppy one. But in the case of Khan the Betrayer, the opposite held true. For 10,000 years, the favored son of the Blood God had followed the eightfold path to every corner of the galaxy, a trail of corpses in his wake, and countless skulls claimed for the throne of Khorne. Numerous were the opponents who had thought Khan beaten, but just as numerous were the bodies of those who had prematurely celebrated victory over the World Eater. The more battered and bloody he became, the greater his rage. The greater his rage, the more battered and bloody his enemies became. Azrael had cut Khan twice. It was unlikely there would be a third time. Bellowing, Khan launched himself at Azrael, again keeping Gorechild high until the very last moment. Anticipating the Dark Angel's feint, Khan swung the chain axe low, catching Azrael on the side of the knee and shearing away armor. He turned the head outwards on the upstroke, catching Azrael under the chin with the haft before spinning the axe around again to bring it down in a killing stroke. Still gripping his blade with both hands, Azrael brought it up swiftly, turning a mortal blow into a wounding one. Deflecting off the dark metal sword, Gorechild narrowly missed decapitating Azrael, biting instead into ornate poison. The Supreme Grand Master's arm went limp at his side, and he raised the Sword of Secrets in one hand to fend off the next blow from the blood-streaked chain axe. Gorechild tore yet another chunk from the floor, more diffuse purple light spilling from below. Relentlessly, Khan came at Azrael, the Dark Angel desperately parrying the savage swipes as he backed away from his assailant. For every blow that he knocked aside, another made contact, breaking open armor and tearing the flesh beneath. There was no longer opportunity for counterattack. Each motion of the Dark Angel's sword was a defensive stroke, staving off the inevitable. Aiming low again, Khan slipped beneath Azrael's guard and Gorechild ate through armor, arterial blood spilling from a wounded thigh. Azrael dropped to one knee and heaved his sword upwards to block yet another potentially killing blow, which instead ended up embedded in the deck. Struggling to free the chain axe from the ruined bulkhead, Khan launched his fist at Azrael, connecting heavily with the Dark Angel's helmeted head. Khan raised his fist again, but, still struggling to free Gorechild, instead gripped the haft and tugged hard to release the trapped weapon. Kneeling, bathed in the purple light bleeding through the cracks and rents in the deck, Azrael defiantly raised the Sword of Secrets. Khan's flank was exposed, the armor already cracked and coated in blood from Azrael's earlier attack. If he could drive the blade in, open the wound up further, then even the notorious Khan the Betrayer could not survive that. But his death would not be instant. He would still be able to free the chain axe, and Azrael's life would be forfeit regardless. Khan was not the objective here. Aiding the Grey Knights in closing the Damnation Cache and ridding the Pandarax system of Abaddon and his Black Legion was. As tempting as it was to die a hero's death and be the one to rid the Imperium of Khan forever, Azrael took the only other option left open to him. He drove his sword point down into the already cracked deck, opening it even further to release more of the unnatural light. He lifted the sword again in the same instant Gorechild finally broke free and slammed down, this time breaking the bulkhead beneath them completely. As Khan's chain axe swung harmlessly overhead, Azrael let himself fall.
This is Adept and Clemita Chayna of the Warship Revenge. Can anybody hear me? Over. This is Adept and Clemita Chayna of the Warship Revenge. Can anybody hear me? Over. This is Adept and Clemita Chayna of the Warship Revenge. Can anybody hear me? Over.
The voice roused Azrael back into consciousness. He checked the chrono readout on his helmet's internal display to see how long he had been out, but the string of digits was nonsense. Either the Lion Helm had been damaged in his fall, or something else was interfering with its systems. Judging by his surroundings, he suspected the latter. Where he might have expected to find the same metal bulkhead as on the deck above, here the material the ship was constructed from had transmuted into flesh. The walls pulsed as if an unseen heart were pumping blood through them, and the floor beneath his feet felt tongue-like, spongy, and coated in thick, clear fluid. The same purple light he had seen seeping through the cracks above bathed the corridor, which ran in both directions as far as his augmented eyes could see. Experimentally, he tried to move his left arm, but a sharp pain told him that he would need the ministrations of one of his chapter's apothecaries before that would be possible. Khan's chain axe had severed through muscle and tendon, as deep down as the bone. Khan. Using his other arm, he hauled himself to his feet and raised Lion's Wrath, the master-crafted combi weapon slung at his back. He aimed at the ceiling, but in place of the hole he had fallen through, a huge scab was in its place, pus leaking from its edges. Seeing the Sword of Secrets lying on the wet floor, Azrael moved to retrieve it, but almost collapsed as he put weight on his wounded thigh, something else that would require medical treatment. He put a hand out against the wall to steady himself, the warm fluid pumping through it, feeling strange beneath his palm.
This is Adept Enclimeter Chainer of the Warship Revenge. Can anybody hear me? Over.
Azrael blink-clicked to activate his armor's vox, but received only interference in return. Automatically, the helmet began to scan for a new channel, but reported failure with every new frequency it tried. Just when it was about to exhaust all possibilities, new lights triggered on the display that Azrael had never seen before, and a schematic of the ship appeared just below his field of vision. He blink-clicked again, and a clear channel opened.
This is Supreme Grandmaster Azrael, receiving. Over.
Oh, thank the Omnissiah, I'm not the only one left alive. When I picked up your distress signal, I thought...
What distress signal? I sent no such message.
I received 3 bursts of static over the Subvox network. It's the old method of signaling for help when there's a chance of an enemy intercepting a voice transmission, or the main communications networks are down.
The Lion's Helm was one of the oldest relics possessed by the Dark Angels, and had been worn by their Primarch, Lion L. Johnson, during the dark days of the Horus Heresy and the fall of Caliban. It was said to have been crafted for him by one of his brother Primarchs, and though many of its capabilities were known, like its wearer, it retained many secrets. Perhaps once he was clear of the ship and back on board the Rock, the Master of the Forge could unlock more of its mysteries. For now, Azrael had more pressing concerns.
Are you on the bridge, Adept? Do you still have control of the ship?
I'm in the secondary sensorium. I've been unable to raise the bridge, even on the Subvox.
What about my chapter? Have you picked up any communications from them?
Chapter? You're a space marine? Oh, sweet Omnissiah, we are saved!
That remains to be seen. I am badly wounded, and the being that caused my wounds still stalks the corridors of this ship. It is imperative I rejoin my chapter.
All Vox communication is down, my lord. Only the Subvox works, and there are only a handful of units on board capable of accessing it.
None of which were in the possession of the Dark Angels. Whoever was behind Azrael's predicament had gone to a lot of trouble to keep him isolated from the rest of his chapter.
Where are you, lord?
Azrael dropped his gaze to where the plan of the ship was projected against the inside of his helm. Blue lines denoted the outline of the ship and delineated the individual decks. A yellow dot pulsed slowly at the base of the schematic, showing Azrael's position.
I am on deck 713. I teleported aboard into some kind of mess hall, but fell through to the deck below.
I think you fell a lot further than a single deck, lord. The lower decks have not been used for decades, and the nearest mess hall is on deck 686.
Somebody had gone to a lot of trouble to keep him apart from his battle brothers.
The service elevator should still work, though.
Azrael turned to look in both directions, the corridor extending like some bizarre throat with no end in sight.
Unlikely. The ship has been corrupted down here. I doubt it's how you remember it.
Corrupted? In what way?
The Supreme Grandmaster's long service among the ranks of the Dark Angels had revealed many horrors and taken him to unimaginable battlefields. He had cleansed the fetid corridors of vessels infected by the Plague God, stalked the living halls of Tyranid bioships, and set ablaze the pleasure dungeons of the vile Dark Eldar. The changes wrought upon the metal of the Revenge did not faze him. The human psyche, fragile and susceptible, did not cope well with anything it could not comprehend. Even if the signs were not overt, knowledge of such unnatural things gnawed away at the soul, its effects manifesting when least expected and least welcomed. The Adept was Azrael's only ally. He needed to keep her focused, keep her sane. Likely she had already witnessed dread beyond her ken. Revealing what had happened to the lower decks of the ship served no purpose. There was something else he wasn't telling her too, but that could wait.
That's not important. Keep trying to get the Vox operational, and I'll try and make it back up through the ship.
But how are you going to do that, Lord?
Carefully applying his weight, Azrael bent forward and retrieved his sword. One-handed, he thrust it into the ceiling and tore through the flesh.
The hard way.
The three Dark Angels didn't know what was happening until it was too late. Pinned down by Black Legionnaires in defensible positions further along the corridor, they had taken to alcoves and doorways, slowly advancing from cover point to cover point, exchanging fire as they went. The roar of a chain axe from behind them drew their attention. Two halves of the green-armored figure fell wetly to the ground, his bolter discharging wildly in a spasming hand. One of the stray shots struck Khan in the hip, but he did not falter, swinging Gorechild around again and liberating another Dark Angel of his head. The third Space Marine, unhelmeted and in the livery of a sergeant, pulled his chainsword free of its scabbard. Khan reacted quickest, severing the Dark Angel's arm at the wrist, sending both fist and sword tumbling to the deck. His next swipe tore up through the stricken Space Marine's torso, opening him up to the chest before one final blow claimed his head. Khan was already advancing along the corridor before the corpse hit the floor. Ahead of him, the five-man squad of Black Legionnaires stepped out from behind their barricade. Their leader, equal in size and stature to the World Eater, moved towards him, pulling off his helmet to reveal a weathered, lined face beneath. But for the lack of a topknot, facially the traitor Marine could have been mistaken for Abaddon himself.
Khan! It's good to see you again, old friend.
Khan continued to advance.
What? Did not recognize me? I'm Segaddon!
If Khan recognized or remembered the Black Legionnaire, he showed no outward sign.
We fought alongside each other at Istvan III. Again at the battle for the Emperor's Palace.
Still, Khan continued onwards.
Ah, you must remember. Such sport we made of those Imperial fists. Why, you alone must have slaughtered...
The surviving Black Legionnaire's weapons were trained on the World Eater in an instant. What happened next was bloody and quick. Leaving the corpses of both foe and former ally alike in a rapidly expanding lake of blood, Khan continued his hunt for Azrael. The World Eater had promised Khorne the Supreme Grand Master's skull. Nothing was going to stop him from claiming it. Even with a failing chronometer, Azrael knew that he had been working his way through the ship for hours. At first, the going was easy, at least as easy as it could be with a ruined arm and thigh. But, whether by accident or design, the soft flesh that had allowed the Dark Angel to travel up through the first few decks soon gave way to thick bone that even the Sword of Secrets could not carve through. With his upward progress halted, Azrael was forced to walk the ivory corridor looking for another point of egress. The schematic projected in his helmet denoted he had only reached level 698. Other than his warped surroundings, there was no sign of any enemy activity this deep in the ship's belly. Sharp protrusions of bone jutted out from the floor at irregular intervals, but these were benign, and Azrael could hobble past them without trouble. Even the rats and other scavengers he would have expected to have found this far down were notable by their absence. Or were they? Keeping one hand against the bone wall for support, Azrael unslung Lion's Wrath and pointed it towards the bend from around which the noise emanated. In his wounded state, He would not be able to sneak up and surprise whatever awaited him. But if it came down to a firefight, he would need every advantage he could get. Slowly, rounding the corner, a terrified face stared back at the Space Marine, like that of a small rodent caught in the beam of a vehicle searchlight. Hanging, one-handed from the corridor wall, a scrawny man in tattered Cadian Imperial Guard uniform looked upon Azrael with an expression that was equal parts awe and terror. He was young by human standards, certainly no more than 30, and in his free hand he held a small knife, the tip of which had snapped off.
Put down your weapon!
The knife was no threat to the Dark Angel, but until he knew what he was dealing with, he would rather the man be unarmed. Several seconds passed, during which nothing happened. By way of persuasion, Azrael raised the barrel of his weapon and pointed it at the Cadian's head.
Who are you? And what are you doing down here? These decks are supposed to be abandoned.
The man's mouth opened and closed several times, as if he were mimicking some kind of ocean-bound creature, but no sound emerged. Azrael motioned with Lion's Wrath to add some extra persuasion.
My name is Joe, Lord. I live down here.
How can you live down here if these decks are abandoned?
Job managed to pull his gaze away from the armored giant before him, dropping his eyes towards the floor. Azrael limped closer, gun still trained on the man.
Answer me, damn you!
Job let go of the thick bone he was gripping and fell to his knees, weeping.
Please, Lord, you have to understand. I'm not like you. I'm not brave. I wasn't bred for fighting. They shipped us off, wouldn't even tell us where we were going. Thousands of us, cooped up in here like cattle.
You're a deserter.
I'm not proud of myself, Lord. As soon as we entered the warp, headed for Pandorax, I took the first chance I could to get out of the regiment. Made my way down here and scavenged what I could until...
I should execute you right here.
The sub-vox link hissed open.
Still no luck with the vox, my lord.
This was the third time the Adept had checked in since their initial contact. Perhaps she was just being thorough or eager to impress, but Azrael suspected it was because she wanted to make sure he hadn't abandoned her.
Is somebody with you? Have you found more survivors?
Just one. Imperial Guard. Claims to have deserted and sought refuge down here.
I'm surprised you've not found more of them, Lord. Hundreds of them deserted the minute they got on board. Even more when we entered the warp. Space travel does strange things to a man's mind. It can turn even the greatest hero into a coward.
A coward is still a coward. Keep trying the Vox, and let me know the moment you get it operational.
Acknowledged, Lord.
Azrael knew that the chances of the Adept getting the Vox working again were slim. If the asteroid impact had not taken out the comms towers, then it was likely the ship's communications were being jammed. Until the Dark Angels and Grey Knights retook the ship, that situation was unlikely to change. Azrael had ordered her to try and get it working for a different reason. It gave her purpose and prevented her from discovering how grave her situation really was.
What were you doing just now before I found you?
Lord?
With the knife. You had climbed up the wall and were doing something with your blade.
There was a crack in a section of bone. I was trying to prise it open and climb through to the deck above.
Azrael looked up. The fissure was no wider than one of his fingers, but more than big enough to accommodate his sword tip.
On your feet!
Job looked up, startled.
I said on your feet!
The Cadian slowly lifted himself from the ground, eyeing the Space Marine warily.
You're not going to execute me?
Azrael released his grip on Lion's Wrath, which fell to his side, suspended from his shoulder by its thick leather strap. He pulled the Sword of Secrets from its scabbard.
I am not going to execute you. Provided you survive long enough for the ship to be liberated, I will hand you over to the custody of your regiment. If one of your superior officers or a commissar decides to put a bolt round through your skull, then that is their business.
Azrael drove the blade up hard into the crack in the ceiling, splitting the bone which cascaded to the floor.
Now come. We have some climbing to do.
Coronary cultist traded shots with the remnants of Imperial Guard regiments and crew members who had taken up arms in defense of the Revenge. In the tight confines of the ship's corridors, there was no escape on either side from the barrage, and scores of bodies already littered the deck. The forces converged on each other, the combat becoming close quarters and intense, knives drawn from within the folds of robes, rifles used as impromptu clubs. In full killing frenzy, the cultists reveled in the slaughter, the deck painted crimson with their enemies' blood, the screams of the butchered like music to their ears. A new instrument of death joined their chorus, its player a virtuoso in the act of murder. The Chosen of Khorne waded into the melee, and, for the briefest of moments, the cultists were glad to have him at their side, the fate of their foes irrevocably sealed by the presence of the World Eater. Their joy soon gave way to terror as Khan plowed through the throng, Gorechild's thirst sated by the blood of friend and foe alike as it indiscriminately tore bodies apart. Like his patron, Khan cared not from whence the blood flowed. Left to their own devices, the two sides could have battled for the better part of an hour, attrition eventually granting the victory to whoever could outlast the other. Thanks to Khan's intervention, it lasted less than a minute. Drenched from head to foot in gore, the same color as the armor beneath, Khan advanced towards the lone survivor. A cultist, both legs severed beneath the knee, had dragged himself along the corridor, a thick crimson smear in his wake. He had come to rest beneath the number 702, stenciled in black on the bare metal bulkhead, where he was slowly bleeding out.
Why? We follow the same path. My devotion is only to the blood god.
Khorne does not want your devotion, wretch. Only your skull.
The massacre complete. Khan continued his pursuit of Azrael.
To which regiment do you belong, trooper?
Their ascent up through the transfigured lower decks of the Revenge had been slow going. Azrael's wounded thigh, while healing rapidly thanks to his space marine physiology, had slackened his pace, and the weak points in the bone structure were few and far between. Since he had encountered Job, they had only managed to climb up two more levels. Other than giving him orders, these were the first words the Dark Angel had spoken to the Cadian in that time.
The Cadian 5th Artillery Regiment, Lord.
Are you bloodied? Have you seen battle yet?
Yes, Lord. As a younger man in the White Shields, I fought against an arch-enemy raiding party that had made planetfall on the northern continent of Cadia.
That must be a common occurrence, so close to the maelstrom.
Job halted and turned to look up at the Space Marine.
Surely you mean the Eye of Terror, Lord? Cadia sits on the fringes of the Eye in Segmentum Obscurus. Were you testing me?
Azrael said nothing and went onwards. The Adept, Chena, had told him that there were likely hundreds of Imperial Guard deserters on the lower decks. Yet in all the hours he had been down here, he had encountered only Job. The man had exhibited no signs of being anything other than what he said he was. But whoever had ensured that Azrael's teleportation had gone awry and had delivered him up to Khan was obviously the bearer of great power. The Lord of the Dark Angels was not taking any chances. Enclamita Chena stared at the ship's schematic projected before her, a tear rolling down her cheek. She had been trying for hours to get the Vox operational again, and after stripping the unit down and rebuilding it again twice, chanting the correct litanies and applying the prescribed unguents naturally, had come to the conclusion that the unit itself was fine, and it was the signal that was somehow being jammed. With that knowledge, she had set to work on trying to get some of the other systems functioning again, with varying degrees of success. Both the short and long-range auspexes were beyond repair, probably the result of external sensors being shorn off during the asteroid impact. But she had managed to get the engine power and temperature gauges up and running again, for what they were worth. Unnervingly, the dead eyes of the Sensorium's former crew had stared at her through the entire process, so before she had embarked upon her next patch-up job, she had dragged their bodies to the far end of the Sensorium and covered their faces with blood-stained tunics. Though the destruction wrought upon the ship and its ancient systems had caused her the greatest distress, she felt oddly saddened by the loss of human life. She had not felt particularly close to any of the crew, but they had always treated her with kindness, something she wanted to reciprocate now that they were dead. Her hope was that once the ship was back under Imperial control, there would be the chance to repatriate their bodies to Gaia and give them a formal burial in the Navy cemetery. Once she had played around with the subvox and brought up the schematic, she knew exactly how vain that hope was. She had lost track of how long she had sat there, just staring at the flickering projection, processing her situation and trying to find some way out of it, but there was none. All she could do now was wait and die. But that did not mean she had to waste whatever time was left to her. If she could get more of the Sensorium systems online again, then she could still be of aid to Lord Asriel. Wiping dry her cheeks, she tore away an instrument panel and began to strip the bundles of wires beneath.
This way leads to the engines, Lord. If we can make it there, then we should be able to ascend to whichever deck we choose. If these changes are only affecting the lower portion of the ship, then we may even find a working service elevator once we reach a higher level.
The ivory monotony of the tunnel-like corridors had finally been broken by a junction, hollow bone leading off to all four points of the compass. Job was standing at the mouth of the right-hand branch, his body language urging Asriel to follow him. The Dark Angel consulted the schematic, manipulating it with eye movement to flatten out the three-dimensional image and present him with an overview of the deck. Job's information was correct. His proposed route led directly to the engines.
What makes you think that it is only the lower part of the ship that has been warped by the dark powers?
I just assumed that because you were heading up through the ship that you were heading for an unaffected area.
Job turned and started in the direction of the engines.
Please, Lord Asriel, there could be anything like...
Lion's wrath burst to life in the Dark Angel's hand, the superheated bolt of plasma scoring a hole clean through the Cadian's back and out through the other side. The man stood there for a moment, looking down at the gaping hole, bloody steam rising from the ruins of heart, lungs, and other vital organs. Slowly, he turned to face Asriel.
What gave me away?
You called me Lord Asriel. I never told you my name, demon.
And what makes you so sure that I'm a demon, Dark Angel?
Oh, because that body you are possessing is lacking at least four of the organs necessary for its continued existence. And yet it is somehow still speaking to me.
The thing that was once Job placed its hand in the void at its chest, expanding its fingers and moving them around. It pulled them away, coated in thick, dark fluid.
Now, who are you? And what do you want with me?
Azrael's relic combi weapon was still trained on the walking corpse.
I thought what I want with you is obvious, Dark Angel. I want you dead. Did you think I offered you up to Khan to trade war stories and offer each other weapon maintenance tips?
The Job thing smiled, obviously impressed with its own joke.
I want to flense the skin from your dead bones and wear it over my own.
I want to sup the wine of dreams from your hollowed-out skull. I want to prize that sword of yours from mortised hands and use it to slay every last one of your brethren.
Don't make me ask again. Who are you?
Perhaps I'm one of your fallen, Dark Angel. Finally granted the gift of demonhood for all my millennia of loyal service. Or maybe I'm one of the voices that whispered to Luther all those years ago on Caliban, telling him of the lion's contempt for him and setting him on the true path. What if I still talk to him, feeding him false information to pass on to you when you have your cozy chats deep in that dungeon where you keep him? What if I am him? Freed of my shackles at some point later in time, but manipulating the warp to have my revenge on my tormentors. That would be poetic, wouldn't it, Dark Angel? The original Angel of Vengeance taking his reprisal on those no longer fit to bear the name.
The possessed Cadian's smile dropped, his features taking on a sinister aspect.
Maybe none of these things are true. Perhaps they all are. That's the thing with identities. If I have to have one, better it be.
You talk too much, demon.
Free of the demon's possession, Job's corpse shriveled and wrinkled, drying to a husk in mere moments.
He's coming for you, Dark Angel. Not long now. Khan has the scent of your blood in his nostrils and will stop at nothing until your skull hangs from his belt.
Kicking Job's corpse out of the way, Azrael set off in the direction of the ship's engines. The Nurgling perished on the end of Justicar Kersai's halberd, the crackling tip of the weapon impaling the beast and lifting it from the gantry. Swinging the polearm around, the Grey Knight threw the beast's body down into the deep void that ran along the rear of the ship, housing the sub-warp engines. Wiping the sickly ichor from the blade of his weapon, Kersai became aware of the presence of another on the steel walkway. Disturbingly, the Psyker's warp gifts had not alerted him, the sound of footsteps being the first indicator of somebody approaching. Snapping his head upwards, a sight that all loyal servants of the Adeptus Astartes are trained to recognize greeted him. Caked in dried blood and filth, Khan raised Gorechild and charged the Grey Knight. The silver-clad space marine raised his halberd, directing a powerful blast of psychic energy at the onrushing World Eater. The stream of blue warp lightning washed over Khan. Either choosing to ignore the pain or impervious to it, still he came. The Grey Knight renewed his assault, putting so much of his being into the power emanating from his force halberd that hoarfrost coated his suit of Terminator armor and dark blood leaked from both nostrils. The effect was the same. His red armor glowing purple under the crackling wave of sapphire energy, Khan did not falter.
No, this cannot be.
Resorting to more base tactics, Kersai raised his weapon to use it in the conventional manner, but the World Eater was already upon him. A huge fist pounded into the Psyker's unprotected face, rearranging his features to such an extent that even the brothers who served beneath him would no longer recognize their Justicar.
Khorne protects me, Grey Knight. A pity for you. You cannot say the same of your corpse emperor.
Gorechild bit deep into the suit of Terminator plate, carving through the flesh and bone beneath and spraying its wielder with yet more blood. Hardly breaking stride, Khan surged onwards as the Grey Knight's constituent parts dropped away into the dark depths of the engine house. Reaching the wide set of metal ladders at the end of the gantry, Khan descended yet deeper into the Revenge, unrelenting in pursuit of his quarry.
I have more of the systems back online, Lord. Life support is up and running across the upper half of the ship, and I have body heat detectors operational on all decks.
And the Vox?
The signal is being jammed. But I think you knew that already, Lord.
Really?
Azrael came to another junction and stopped to consult the schematic.
What makes you say that?
Because I also access the ship's schematic via the sub-Vox.
The Dark Angel said nothing. Picking one of the branches in the corridor, he began to limp along it, arm held out against the wall to help support his weight.
Why didn't you tell me?
Would it have made any difference to your situation?
I would have known.
And that knowledge would have altered nothing. All routes to the secondary sensorium were severed when the asteroid hit. The damage to the surrounding areas was catastrophic. It's a miracle you're alive.
Some miracle. Doomed to die a slow death as the oxygen supply runs out. You have no intention of rescuing me, do you?
My mission is to ensure the Revenge is cleansed. Your area of the ship is inaccessible to both Imperial and enemy forces. Once our primary objective is achieved, then we can look at the options of rescuing stranded crew. Adept Chena?
I've patched the body heat detectors through to the subfox schematic. I may not be able to differentiate between friendly and hostile forces, but at least I can give you a heads up when you're approaching somebody. Which deck are you on now?
I'm still on 700. I just came to a junction and continue towards the engines.
Stay on that heading. There's nothing towards the aft of that level, but the sensors are showing multiple returns towards the fore.
Acknowledged.
Killing the sub-fox link, Azrael continued slowly towards his objective. Despite having not killed for what felt to Karn like an unbearable age, his collar was undiminished. Azrael was close, so close that the tang of blood hung on the stale air, the spoor of the Dark Angel's wounds as clear as footprints to the World Eater. Coming to a junction in the smooth bone corridor, Karn spotted what at first appeared to be nothing more than a bundle of rags. As he moved closer, he saw that the torn and filthy material, remnants of an Imperial Guard uniform, clothed a desiccated corpse. Crouching down, he placed a hand on the rent gouged in the cadaver's chest. Even through his gauntlets, Karn could feel the heat from the plasma burst that had punched through the dead man's chest. He had no idea what had caused the body to decompose so quickly, but that was of no concern to him in his heightened state of bloodlust. The hunt was almost at an end.
Lord Azrael?
Yes, Adept.
Have you reached the engines yet?
No.
Oh. Even at your reduced pace, you should have reached them by now. Did you take a wrong turn, perhaps?
I took no wrong turn. I know exactly where I am headed.
Are you certain?
Absolutely. I am very nearly at my objective.
How close are you? Can you hear the engines yet?
The engines are not my objective.
But you said...
The engines are not my objective. You are, demon.
The smooth white of the tunnel opened out into an expansive chamber, once used to house ordnance for the Revenge's fearsome array of weaponry, but now co-opted as a den for one of the Neverborn. The walls shone with a pearlescent gleam, shapes swirling and forming on its surface like ghosts trapped beneath ice. Azrael's tormentor stood hunched in the center, its gigantic avian form clutching a grotesque staff, a bulbous blinking eye set into its shaft. Its peaked head shook from side to side, as if in the grip of some nervous tick, and its coat of blue and purple feathers bristled when it caught sight of the Dark Angel on the threshold of its domain.
What gave me away this time?
I switched off the subvox hours ago. Yet still the girl was able to communicate with me. Unless she was holding back that she was a psyker, it had to be you. Is she real? Or just a construct of yours to help lead me to Karn?
Oh, she's real. She's sitting there right now, scared out of her mind, waiting to die. You were her only hope, and she'll go to her grave knowing that you abandoned her. And you were wrong, by the way.
About what, demon?
That there was no way to reach her. The Black Legion have found a way through. Even now, three of their number are on their way up to send her to that grave a little quicker. I'm sure slow asphyxiation will have felt like the pleasant alternative once they're through with her. Now, tell me, Azrael, how did you find me?
For a follower of the Lord of Lies, your tactics are quite blunt. You did everything you could to keep me away from this end of the ship.
Merely leading you to Khan, Dark Angel.
Why him? He seemed as puzzled as I that he had become embroiled in your scheme.
The four play their game on a cosmic scale, and even I am but a pawn. Pacts have been made, deals have been closed. Somebody who is no longer in a position to claim your life for himself made a bargain. One of the conditions is that Khan will be the one to claim your skull. The rest of you is to be left to me to do with as I please.
The demon stalked towards Azrael, tottering uneasily on its clawed feet.
But the terms of the compact are subject to alteration as circumstances dictate. Khan is not here to slay you. I am.
Belying its awkwardness and bulk, the demon was upon Azrael in an instant, staff raised to strike the Dark Angel down.
I don't think so, Dukaleth.
At the mention of its true name, the demon froze rigid, rooted to the spot like some bizarre living statue.
You are the only thing that will be slain today.
But how? My trap was perfect. I caught you unawares, isolated you both from your own brothers and those accursed demon hunters. You cannot know my true name. It is impossible.
And yet here you are, bound to my will.
This is some kind of trick. I know you will stop at nothing to get your hands on your fallen ancestors. You must have entered into a pact with one of my rivals, bartered the souls of your chapter in exchange for knowledge.
With the demon's power held in check, the sorcery he had employed to jam the Vox network dispelled. Azrael's helmet filled with the frantic exchanges of his chapter at war. For the moment, he ignored them.
This is no trick. I made no bargains with your treacherous ilk. Do you think that Drago and his Grey Knights are the only ones who know the value and power of a true name? I have access to all the secrets of my chapter. Its entire knowledge is laid open to me. And every minute I am not at war is time I spend expanding that knowledge, arming my mind for the wars yet to come. Your name has been known to the Dark Angels for a very long time, demon. Supreme Grand Master after Supreme Grand Master has memorized it in the hope that this day would come.